Hi, I'm Asha Tomlinson.
And I'm David Common.
And we're hosts of CBC Marketplace. We're award-winning investigative journalists that want to help you avoid clever scams, unsafe products, and sketchy services.
Our TV show has been Canada's top investigative consumer watchdog for more than 50 years, but this is our first podcast.
CBC Marketplace podcast is available now on the CBC Listen app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is a CBC podcast.
This is World Report. Good morning, I'm Marcia Young. Violence erupted this morning on the University of California, Los Angeles campus. People in a pro-Palestinian encampment clashed with pro-Israeli demonstrators. There were several fights between the rival groups, but it was hours before police moved in to clear the crowd.
We had people mazing us, beating us with bats and sticks, throwing whatever they could to us, and none of this law enforcement was here at all. So it's kind of disappointing that we're seen as the perpetrators here.
I think that it's kind of foolish that law enforcement didn't decide to step in when people were being beaten with metal bats, maced.
It appears no arrests were made. The university has declared the encampment unlawful, but it and some protesters remain. Reporter Steve Futterman is at the UCLA campus, and he joins me now. Steve, how long do you think these tents and protesters will be allowed to stay?
I mean, that's the big question right now. Will they give them a deadline? Will they just move in? We thought perhaps tonight that this would be part two of what happened here, that the police would move in, tell the encampment people that they had to leave, but that has not happened, at least so far. I don't know really what the administration is going to do. If they do try to clear the encampment, one would think that it might not be that peaceful, and that's something that the UCLA administration would like to avoid. They don't want the optics of violence on the campus. So far, they've been basically able to avoid it. So I don't know what they're going to say today, but I think they're going to possibly come up with a deadline to clear the encampment, and we'll go from there.
All right. Thank you, Steve.
Thank you.
Reporter Steve Futterman in Los Angeles. In New York City,
they are attempting to disrupt our city, and we are not going to permit it to happen.
Mayor Eric Adams holding an update this morning on the protests at Columbia University and the City College of New York. More than 300 people were arrested after protesters stormed an administration building and barricaded themselves inside yesterday. He says many of those arrested are not students.
These external actors with a history of escalating situations and trying to create chaos, not to peacefully protest, but create chaos.
Adams says the external actors are part of a movement to radicalize young people. He calls it a global problem. Officers are now going through the arrests to determine who are students and who are not. Here at home, McGill University is asking Montreal police to help clear a protest encampment at the downtown school. Fabrice Labou is the deputy provost of student life at McGill.
We've asked the police to intervene after we've tried ourselves through our own protocols. We know that the police have the expertise in resolving such situations. They've started their own process. Our priority continues to be the safety and the well-being of all the community members. But at the same time, we also know that the police will also try to find a peaceful resolution.
McGill has released video which it says shows some protesters using anti-Semitic language. Two McGill students are asking a judge to grant an emergency injunction to dismantle the encampment. A judge could rule on the request as early as today. U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken is meeting with senior officials in Israel. He's trying to get a ceasefire deal with Hamas in place. But the two sides are far apart on a key sticking point, whether this deal would end the war completely. Abby Quillason has more.
The loud blare of sirens outside the Kuwaiti hospital in Rafah, only matched by the screams of relatives inside as medics work to keep a young boy alive following Israeli airstrikes. More than 35,400 Palestinians have been killed in Gaza as Israel retaliates for Hamas's attacks on October 7th when militants killed about 1,200 people and took about 240 hostages.
Bring our children home today.
In Tel Aviv, demonstrators urged Washington to help secure a deal that frees their relatives. U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken tried to reassure them.
Bringing your loved ones home is at the heart of everything we're trying to do.
Ratem Cooper is desperate for his elderly father to be released and is relying on the U.S. president to make it happen.
Maybe he's the only adult in the room, and we're asking him to apply whatever pressure is necessary to Hamas, but not only to Hamas, also to the Israeli prime minister.
Benjamin Netanyahu says the Rafah ground assault will happen even if hostages are released. That appeases the hardliners in his coalition government, but it could mean further condemnation from allies. The New York Times says several Israeli officials have told the paper Netanyahu is worried about a possible international criminal court arrest warrant in his name. It could be linked to charges of preventing aid from entering Gaza and the IDF's disproportionate response to Hamas's unprecedented attack. The ICC has not commented. Abby Kualdas in CBC News, London.
It is May Day around the world. Workers and activists are celebrating and marching. Some are celebrating human rights. Others are protesting labor policies. In Turkey, police detained May Day protesters trying to march on Taksim Square. All demonstrations have been banned in the square for several years now, but the leader of the main opposition party called for people to march there anyway. Hundreds of riot police with shields and water cannons blocked their path. At least 210 people have been arrested. The controversial Trans Mountain expansion pipeline officially begins operating today. It takes oil from Alberta's oil country to the BC coast. The pipeline feeds into a marine terminal in the Burnaby area, and a lot of people there are opposed to this project. Aaron Collins brings us this final day of stories from people who live along the line.
These things can only go out two-thirds full.
Elin Gibson looks out at an oil tanker parked in Burrard Inlet. The Burnaby resident worried about more ships at Trans Mountain's marine terminal here. The expanded facility will go from hosting about a tanker a week to a tanker a day.
If it hits one of those pylons, you know, it will take out not our economy, but it'll take out the whole inlet.
Now complete, TMX will bring about three times the oil to Trans Mountain's tank farm on Burnaby Mountain. Next to that facility, protesters built a traditional Coast Salish watch house.
Tsleil-Waututh refused to agree to this pipeline being here. That's what this watch house was about.
Jim Layden is the elder at the watch house. First Nations in the area still oppose the expansion.
Everyone says it's not if, but when. You know, when there's a spill, we're done.
Peter Ross agrees, and it's a big problem, according to the scientists with the Rain Coast Conservation Foundation.
We simply cannot afford a spill in inland waters, in the Salish Sea, in the Strait of Georgia, and the approaches to Vancouver.
Ross says any accident would be devastating for killer whales and other marine life in the area. Aaron Collins, CBC News, Burnaby.
Canada's new dental care plan for seniors begins today. 1.7 million people aged 70 and up are eligible for the program. Eventually, it will cover one in four Canadians without private dental insurance. But as Marina von Stackelberg reports, some dental care providers are not included right away, and there is still a cost.
I have not signed up.
Dr. Brock Nicolucci of the Ontario Dental Association says many dentists like him are waiting to see how the Canadian Dental Care Plan actually rolls out before signing up. So far, about 5,000 oral health care providers have registered. That's less than one in five.
We want to be able to treat our patients that are eligible for this Canadian Dental Care Plan. But unfortunately, with these roadblocks in the way, we're having a hard time signing on to this.
The federal government says it has worked to simplify the program. Providers can directly bill the plan without officially registering, but that won't be an option until July. Some services that require pre-authorization, like crowns or partial dentures, won't start being covered until half a year from now. Yura Wojcicki is with the Denturists Association of Canada.
For denturists, we're hoping to do it all at once, but we understand that some of the procedures that we would do will have to be delayed until November.
Francine Trudeau is with the Canadian Dental Hygienists Association.
One of the things that we've been advocating is for the plan to cover more preventive services.
Dental care providers say it's important patients understand this isn't necessarily free dental care. The federal government will pay a certain amount, but your dentist can charge you the difference based on their own fees. Marina von Stackelberg, CBC News, Ottawa.
And that is the latest national and international news from World Report. If you're looking for tools to talk about the day's big stories with the little people in your life, check out cbckidsnews.ca. I'm Marcia Young.
For more CBC podcasts, go to cbc.ca/podcasts.